may be seated. What a joy it is to be here with you tonight. We've just had the most wonderful, glorious week. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about Grace Fellowship because it's founded upon the rock. And it's a wonderful, wonderful group of people, the nicest people in the world. So I know that you're glad and proud that God has brought you to this place. And I just, you know, I did tell Pastor that I wanted to come and see Elvis Presley. Oh, and three of them. I mean, a trinity of them. You can't do much better than that. Three. And so I would have been right here in the middle of it and just loving it. And Loretta, if my friend Loretta had only known, she would have walked from Lima, Ohio to get here. That's how much she loves Elvis. So the next time you guys are going to have to give us a call so we can come. And I was thinking about, you know, Patsy Cline, and I was thinking about, well, when I get the microphone, I'll just go, I'm not crazy, crazy for feeling lonely no more. Crazy. No, I'm not feeling blue. So I could have done Patsy Cline or, you know, something like that. It's a joy to be able to have music. You know, music is God's, oh, his treasure to us. And although it was Elvis Presley who started in the Assembly of God Church singing, I met the man preaching in Tupelo, Mississippi, the man that used to stand him on the steps of the altar for him to start singing as just a three-year-old child. I was preaching there, and this very elderly man came up. This has been about 20 years ago, and he said, Sister Elaine, I am the man that put Elvis's first diaper on. Well, you know, I said, I want somebody to verify this. And the pastor came over, and he said, it's true. This man is his uncle. And he told me all about Elvis, and he told me how he used to stand him on the altar steps for him to sing. And as a 10-year-old, how he loved God and would just bring in the anointing. He knew God, right? So he also said that before Elvis passed, for 8 hours, he prayed in the Holy Ghost, and he was there with him. So I pondered that. I held it in my heart because Loretta really wants Elvis to be in heaven. And I believe a friend of mine that I ministered with recently, we had a cruise ministry trip last year, and I was the prophet, she was the pastor, another lady was the evangelist, and we had all these hundreds of people that we ministered to on the cruise ship. And she related to me that when she went into heaven, Elvis, are you ready for this? Elvis walked up to her and Jesus as they were looking around. And Jesus said, this is Elvis Presley. But there was two of them. And he said, this is his twin that came to heaven at birth. So I'm beginning to believe all this stuff. Do you believe? I believe that God can do anything. And this man, his uncle, said to me, the Lord spoke to me early that morning before he passed and said, go to Elvis. He needs you. And when he got there, he said, you better go back to the altar. You're getting ready to leave this earth. And they prayed for 8 hours with Elvis speaking in tongues. Isn't that great? Yeah. It just goes to show you, don't give up on anybody. Whitney Houston, what a gift to the body of Christ. What a gift as a little girl, the same thing, singing in church. at 12 years old, her cousin was playing with her with a wire coat hanger and cut her vocal cord. And the doctor said she'll never talk, she'll never sing. But her mama wouldn't give up. She's going to sing. And look at what the voice. Isn't it amazing? I told the Lord one day, I said, God, I can't wait to see all the times you brought me from the point of death. You're going to see your whole life before you in heaven. Brother Norval said that in heaven, there is theaters. They're like theaters. They're like our movie theaters, but they're grand in heaven. And he said you can go in there at any time and watch the good things that God has done through the Old Testament and the New and through people's lives. So we can go in and watch Smith Wigglesworth throw Mary. Wasn't that her name? Mary, the lady that died that was in the coffin. And it cleared the whole funeral home out. Everybody in there, leave, get out of here. And they all left. And when they left, he went over to the coffin and got her out of the coffin and put her up against the wall and commanded her to breathe. She had already been embalmed. Wouldn't you like to see that? Well, in heaven, God doesn't just do all these miracles of rolling back the sea and turning water to wine and walking on water and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and Daniel in the lion's den. Whew. And the birds feeding the prophet of God bread and meat morning and night while he's laying out there under a tree. Where'd they get the bread and meat? Where did you get the hot bread? You know, aren't you excited about seeing these miracles again that we've only read about? Well, Brother Norval said in heaven we can watch like a video, like Hallmark Christmas movies come on. Well, you're going to be able to go in there and watch all these movies, except they're going to be real things that God has done. Well, I can't wait to get there and go into the time I was in Russia. Not even thinking at all the miracles that God was going to do in Russia. But the Lord said, as I was packing, go into your jewelry box and get the big brooch that I gave you. The woman in I think he said Tennessee, gave you a big brooch on a chain, and it has red and purple and blue and gold colors on it. Take it with you to Russia. It was a lot larger than this, but it was all these, about like that big, and it had all these colors on it. And I said, you want me to take that? It's really gaudy. It's big. He said, take it. So the first night I minded my own business, putting my makeup on, doing my hair, getting ready to go preach at Rick Renner's church. 3,800 people the first night. And he said, wear the brooch. So I grabbed it and put it on. Ken said, Elaine, they told you to dress real plain because the Russian ladies just wear like gray, black, blue, and they're not, you know, like me. And so he said, and I said, Ken, the Lord told me to wear this. Well, if God told you to wear it, Elaine, I know you know what you're doing. And so that night, as I was standing there and I was preaching the word of God, a little 14-year-old boy way back at the back of that auditorium come running and screaming to the front and said, I can see, I can see. And he grabbed that brooch and he said, I can see the color. I can see the color. That's going to be in heaven on a video and you'll get to watch it. How wonderful. So I was reminiscing, telling God all these things the other day. You know how good it is just to sit and talk to God and just say, you don't need any these, any vows, any speech that you've just made up or someone. You just talk to him. And I said, you know what? Lord, I want to know these things that you're going to do. How many times have you saved me from death? And I immediately went into the time that I was in the water. My sister and I said, we're going to swim across the lake. I was 12. She was 14. And God, you know, he said, do you remember that day? And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was clear. But we got out in the middle of the lake. It was too far to go back and it was too far to swim on. And we got cramps and we were tired. And Darlene said, Elaine, we're in danger. I said, I know this was a stupid idea to swim all the way across a lake. But we started calling on Jesus. Save us. Help us. And it was like instantly the power of God came upon us and we were at the other side, just like to the other side. And God said, remember that day? I saved your life that day. He said, do you remember the time Jonathan was 16, David was 11, and I called you to Michigan to preach my word, and you got in the old brown van, and an hour before you got there, there was a bad ice storm, and there was trucks everywhere, tractor trailer trucks off the road, sliding off the road, couldn't help from hitting guardrails and trees. But he said, remember that van? Remember how I held the van on the road? And when you got to the hotel, the man said, there's nowhere for you to stay. 180,000 places are out of electricity. We don't have any heat. And you asked the man, please, just give me a room. It's me and my children, and we don't have anywhere to go. We don't start preaching till tomorrow night. He said, well, you won't be preaching in this city. There's no power. The electricity is gone. There's an ice storm. And we didn't even slide. Our van did not even go off the road. And so I said, just give me a room. And so we got in that ice cold room, in those ice cold beds. And I prayed, God, you're the God that did not let the children of Israel down. You brought them through the Red Sea. You're the one that saved the three Hebrew children out of the fire. You didn't let their clothes even smell like smoke. So put a fire in our room. Warm this room and let us rest. At 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, I lie not. I raise my hand up to God with no electricity anywhere in that place. My room was toasty warm. At 8 o'clock in the morning, I said, guys, the electricity is on. This room is so hot. David said, I am so hot. I've got to open a window. But when we opened the door, it was ice cold in the hallway. And there was a maid and a helper said, how have you got heat in there? I said, come and feel. And they came in my room and they said, there's no way. I said, this is the presence of God. We have heat. We have heat in an ice cold room that was like 10 degrees outside, no electricity, and the warm morning heater from heaven came in our room. I tell you, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive your praise. You can't outgive your thanksgiving. He is so wonderful. I am a witness that the Almighty God is doing great miracles in this land, and I will not shut up, and I will not hold my peace, and I will not sit down. I believe that God wants to do a miracle for you. Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody shout in here. Yes. Come on, we need to make some noise. Yes. Amen. Yes. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107:2. Let the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. who delivered me from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, to a very familiar passage. Praise the Lord. God is good. Isn't he good? Isn't the Lord good? Isn't the Lord good? Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is good. Woo, glory to God. That lady in the black hat's got a miracle tonight. You. What's her name? Lou. Lou has got a miracle. Just wait. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have with me tonight my granddaughter Zoe DeVia Hallmer. And I have with me Loretta Hallmer. Except she's not a Hallmer, but she should be. My little sister, Loretta. All right, are you there? Romans 10, 8. Well, Elaine, we know that scripture. We can say that over and over and over. But I want you to put your eyes on the 8th verse of Romans 10. God bless this awesome church tonight. Set a fire under us and let us burn, baby, burn in the Holy Ghost. Burn, baby, burn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This girl is on fire. I'd like to be able to sing that about the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you there? Now, Romans is, of course, written by the Apostle Paul. And when I always read anything about the Apostle Paul, I always think about how wonderful it is that God changed him from a murderer to a man of God. God can do anything, can't he? And I want you to, I'll just read the whole thing from the very first verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that it might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, first, look at me, saints of the living God. If we've ever needed knowledge, we need knowledge right now. Amen. We have so many people, even pastors and teachers and evangelists, and people that call themselves prophets, and they do not have the knowledge of even who they are. Do you hear me? And I'm in a lot of different churches every year, and I go from one climate to another climate. What I mean is I'll be in one place 1 week, and it will be a climate, and then I'll go to another church, and it will be a climate. But there's one thing I found. You all should be very, very happy, and you should always thank God that you have people in Grace Fellowship that have knowledge. Do you feel safe? Amen. Amen. It says there is a people that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I want zeal for God with knowledge, don't you? I want to be happy. I want to be on fire. I want to be this girl's on fire with the Holy Spirit. I want to be full of and controlled by the Holy Ghost. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Now remember, you don't ever have to tell anybody who you are, a title. Let God just tell them who you are, right? A lady came up to me and she said, I am a minister and I have this and I have that. And pretty soon I found out it wasn't even true. Because it was just what she said. I think you just need to let God show people who you are. Isn't that true? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, let's be frank. Let's just tell the truth like it is. There's nobody righteous without him. Talk about nothing. I don't know where I would be without Jesus. I probably would be in a bar somewhere singing. or something, you know, country, or I wouldn't be serving God. But the righteousness of God that he has given unto every one of us is what we can brag about. What do you mean brag about? I mean be proud that you have the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, he is our righteousness. He took all your sins. He took all your sickness. He took all your sadness. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. You don't have to pay for your own sin now, because you become a child of God. And it doesn't give you a right to sin more. Becoming a child of God makes you want to sin less. What happens to Christians when they just willfully sin? They open up the door for the devil to come in and do bad things to them. Do you understand that? You say, well, I know I've got the grace of God and I know I'm God's child. And if I sin, I mean, it's covered. The blood covers it. Saints of God, if you sin and willingly sin and know you're doing wrong, all you're doing is opening up the door for the enemy to come in and eat your lunch. Do you hear me? I don't want the devil to do anything. I don't want him to have no power. I want to slam the door on the devil. Get out of here. Leave me alone. You have nothing in me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right now. Not one day after a while. I'm the righteousness of God right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So the righteousness which is of faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. Faith is voice activated. I was coming down Man of War a few months ago, and my GPS wasn't talking. It wasn't saying anything. And I turned on the volume, and it still didn't say anything. And I did everything to try to make the thing activate, voice activate, to tell me how to get to Georgetown, like I didn't know. And I said, well, why aren't you talking to me? Well, I didn't have the thing turned on right. It wasn't the phone. It was me. But faith is voice activated. And sometimes when you think your faith isn't on target or you're not working, it's because you're not talking. Well, Elaine, I don't want to lie. If I'm in pain, I don't want to say I'm healed. The Bible says, call those things that be not as though they were. I'm going to call what I want, not what I've got. If you call things what you see, instead of calling things by the righteousness of the Word of God, then you're never going to have anything good. Well, I don't feel good. Well, who goes by feelings when he's talking about the Word? Only time I go by feelings is when I'm wanting to dance and play and have fun. Feelings are good. Do you know feelings are good? Feelings are great. I love you. I feel like you love me. I know I love you. Feelings are wonderful. But not when it comes to the devil coming against the Word of God. I'm not going to go by my feelings. I'm going to go by faith. And faith is voice activated. Hallelujah. Lazy faith will get you nothing. Faith can walk. Faith can talk. Faith can sing. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. But righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? I don't need him to come back down here and die on a cross. I don't need him to get up. I don't need another Easter morning for him to get out of the grave. I don't need him to ascend into heaven. All those things are done. He's finished. When he said it's finished, both soul and body. He don't have to do any other thing. Well, I just want the rain to come. I want the revival to come. I want this to come. You are praying against the will of God. You are talking against the will. What do you mean you want more of God? He's already given you all of heaven. Everything that Jesus is, God gave to you. And then Jesus gave you everything he had. What I got in me is going to get on you. Hallelujah. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken our mortal body by that same spirit that raised him up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here we are in Georgetown, Kentucky, and we're sitting here, about 50 of us, and we've got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead moving in us, jumping from one to the other. Oh! Makes me happy. I get excited. Ooh, yeah. Here I am standing here, little old 5'2" woman. Glory to God. Got a lot of strength and energy, filled up with the power of God. Got a new heart, a new liver, a new lung, new brain, new eyes, new ears. I say it all the time, renewing my youth every day. My eyes are perfect. My hearing is perfect. My heart is perfect. My lungs are perfect. My limbs are perfect. Glory to God. I don't have any arthritis. And here I am standing in Georgetown, Kentucky, preaching the word of God with the knowledge and the zeal mixed together that I don't have to worry or be excited or be over anxious because my faith talks. Can run back there and get a milkshake. Ooh, glory. I feel like there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Glory to God forevermore. Ooh, hallelujah. My Lord. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Who shall ascend into heaven? Can't bring him down again. Who shall ascend in the deep and bring Christ again from the dead? But what does faith say? Right now with me, say, but what does faith say?
What does faith say?
Well, my Lord, if faith's talking, I want to hear it. Faith talking is better than any preacher. Faith talking is better than any prophet. Faith speaking is better than anything because God is pleased with faith and faith works. And he says, but what does faith say? What does it say? It says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that Christ has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, Elaine, are you crazy? Don't you know we've all confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart and we are all saved? I want you to understand something right here. Don't ever get to the point that you cannot learn something. And if you already know it all, there's somebody beside you that don't know it all, right? So he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that Christ is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. There's only one way to get anything from God. If somebody put an ad in the paper and said, if you'll come to my church this Sunday, I'm going to tell you one way that you can have everything and anything heaven's got. If you will come to my church this Sunday, I'm going to preach a message and I'm going to guarantee you with an ironclad guarantee that I can give you the way to get everything you want. There's only one way. And the same way that you get your sins forgiven and you become a family member of God is the same way you get riches if you're poor, or healing if you're sick, or your children off drugs, or your marriage brought back. Well, I got a good marriage. I'm talking about in love. I'm not just talking about having, oh, Lord, my wife ran off with my neighbor. She took my truck. She took my dog. I sure do miss my dog. I'm not talking about that kind of marriage. I'm talking about in love. Can't wait to see each other. You think I'm dressed up tonight? Wait till you see me in the morning. I'm leaving town. I've been gone a week. And tomorrow is the day I get to see my kin. And I'm going to be dressed up, baby. It's going to be makeup on good. It's going to be hair all fixed. I'm putting on my Christmas leggings, jeggings. They got Santa Claus on them and candy canes and gingerbread houses. And they're red and green and black and white. And I got black Ugg boots with stones up the back of them. I'm going home. Say, well, what do you have to do that? You've been married 38 years. Oh, no, I want him to be carried away when he just sees me. I'm talking about good marriage. He called me today. He said, oh, Elaine, you're going to be so happy. You'd think, well, he's bought you a ring or he's got you flowers or maybe you've done. He said, oh, no, I got the ceiling put up over the stage in your church and you're just going to love it. I picked it out before I left. We kept on having these kind of ceilings and they're wonderful, but we had a leak. And we needed a fan up there because it was just condensation building up. And we got the fan and we got the ceiling was ruined. So I went and I bought PVC ceiling. PVC ceiling. Waterproof, mold proof, water resistant, whole bunch of stuff. And it's decorated. It's decorated. Imagine that. And I wanted it. So I went to the store and I picked it out. And I said, Ken, this is what I want. He said, did you look at the price? I said, I did. He said, it's $12.95 a piece. Now, I'm not talking about a carton. $12.95, not for a 4x4, but a 2x2. And they're made out of PVC pipe. And they got a beautiful decoration in them. And I said, this is what I want. He said, well, that's a lot of money. That's $13 plus tax for one little oak 2x2. Well, Elaine, won't you find something cheaper? I said, well, they don't have anything any cheaper that's mold resistant, waterproof, water resistant, insulated, and all that, every little piece. And it's not got that pretty design on it. So I said, my faith has a voice. He said, well, if you can call in the money for the ceiling, just go right ahead. But if you don't have the money for the ceiling, we're not getting the ceiling. That's what Ken said. And he's the boss. So I said, fine. I said, good. So I started praying. How did you do it? I said, Father God, watch this exactly. I said, Father God, I thank you for this beautiful stuff, this PVC ceiling. And Lord, I like that decorated. It's called a coffee vault and it's beautiful and it's gorgeous. And God, that's what I want for your house. I said, how can my house be pretty if you've got bad ceiling in your house? God, your house is supposed to look better than mine. And I've already painted all the walls. And Lord, I put down all new carpet and we got beautiful chairs. But if I raise my hands, Father, this is the way I talk to God. If I raise my hands, Father, and I look up, I go, oh Lord. That's what I told God. I said, oh, I go, oh, Lord. I said, and when people come in here and they look up and want to look at this, they go, oh, my word, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. I said, so, Father, I decree that you give me this ceiling. And if I decree it, it will be established unto me. Because faith has a voice. I'm not talking about a miracle a year ago. I'm talking about a miracle 2 weeks ago. This is 2 weeks old. It's a baby. And so, this lady called me on the phone and she said, Sister Elaine, I'd like to take you to lunch. And I said, well, honey, this week is so booked. I don't have any time. I'm my own housekeeper. I preach 5 and 6 times a week. I unpack and I wash all my clothes. Did you know most big time preachers have personal packers? Personal packers. I don't mean somebody carrying a gun for them. I mean somebody that goes into their home and packs their luggage. And I remember one time meeting Joyce Meyer's personal buyer. Lord, I don't want nobody to go buy my stuff. That'd just be awful, wouldn't it? Not to be able to shop. Come on, ladies. Faith has a voice here. Come on, talk back to me. You don't want nobody to be your personal shopper. You want to shop yourself. And so I said, well, okay, this is Monday. By Friday, I should be finished and I'll go eat lunch with you. She said, okay, what time? She made me pick a time. I said, okay, I'll meet you at 11:35 at Cracker Barrel because there I can get my cornbread. Thank you, Jesus. So I was there. She was there. And we go in and sit down and she orders a salad and I order beans and cornbread and tea. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so we're sitting there and I'm eating my beans, you know, and crumbled up my cornbread in it. You know how you eat it. And so I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm eating my beans. And she said, you know, I just had to have this meeting with you. And I'm thinking, praise the Lord. Looking at her, you know, you don't know what's going to come off. Folks are just folks. You understand, folks are folks. And you don't know what you're about to hear. So she said, you know, about a month ago, I was at your church. I have been there a couple times. I live over in Georgia, and I drive all the way over there the few times I've been there. And she said, you've really done a great job with the paint and all the stuff. She said, but I was sitting there, and I lifted up my head, and I raised my hands, and I said, oh, that's the worst ceiling I've ever looked at in my life. Well, now, you know, I don't even want to eat my beans now. I'm just kind of laying my spoon down. I said, well, I agree with you. She said, so I left church that day, and on my drive home, the Lord said, buy her a new ceiling. And she said, I started looking it up on the internet and seeing what you needed. Do you know to get the right kind of ceiling that you need, it'd be about $13 per 2x2? Faith has a voice. And so I said, yes, I do know that. She said, the strangest thing happened a week and a half ago. My husband's aunt passed away. And she left him $100,000, just a little tip of the iceberg of all her money. She gave him $100,000. And the Lord told me to buy your ceiling. Remember Ken's famous words. And I said, let me get a drink of tea here. And she said, my husband said, you can give the tithe off of this to anyone you want. So I'm going to give you $10,000. Well, I've already got it calculated in my head. That ain't going to be enough, right? But I was so thankful for the $10,000. Hey, I can go out here and preach on the road and get enough money to finish it up. Ken knows that, right? God will give it to me. So I said, oh, thank you. And now I'm crying, tears running, just because God is so good. And so I said, follow me over to the church. And let's go over there. She said, how many ceiling tiles will it take? I said, let's go count them. So here we go. And she got out of her car at church. She said, strange thing happened to me on the way over here. God said for me to give you 12, not 10. And I'm thinking, we need to take another trip. Let's go back to the Cracker Barrel and come back. I mean, the more we drive, the more money we're getting for the ceiling tiles. And God knows if he gives me money for anything, it goes exactly what it's put for. You understand that? Do you know that it is really important to do what you say? All right, let me ask you this. If you will lie about your tithing or you will lie about your seed, or if you will lie about, you know, like you tell somebody, okay, I'm going to be at your church this week and you don't show up, then, you know, you're only as good as your word. How, if you cannot keep your word on little bitty things that you might call little, how can you keep your word when the devil says you have cancer and he knows you're not a truthful person? Then he'll think you're lying to him too when you say I'm healed. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. If you lie about everything else to people and you're not your word, then, you know, that means you're untruthful. And then if you're untruthful, the devil will say, well, she lied about everything else. Why is she going to lie about it when she says that, you know, that she's healed or she's going to do this or that or the other? So to make a long story short, we went in there and counted the ceiling tiles and the lady gave me every dime. Can you imagine? And she said, I'm going to write the check out right now. Can you imagine Ken's face? He's got a pretty face. I walked in there and I said, what did you say about the ceiling? He said, I said, if you can believe the money in, you can have it and we'll put it up. Jonathan, my son, and I'll put it up. And so I said, well, here's your check. He went, what? I said, faith has a voice. I kept on speaking. I didn't have anything to do with the aunt passing on. She was a good woman and old, and she went on. But she left the man $100,000, and the woman chose me to give the tithe to, or the church rather. She made it out to Fort Bend Christian Center, and we got the ceiling. And you know what? Today they've been working on it all day. So when all of you preachers come down to my church at the pavilion meeting on July the 4th, you can go in there, and we're going to eat in my fellowship hall, and y'all are going to preach. I want everybody to preach under my pavilion. Well, hello. I want all of you to be there July 4th week. Big pavilion. It's going to be good. Oh, Lord. Wasn't that good? I have the ceiling, folks. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. And we sometimes think, well, that just means to get saved when you first become a Christian. Anything you want from God must be in your heart and in your mouth. Anything. I've told this and you probably heard me, but I can't even run out of my favorite cologne that God doesn't send somebody with a bottle of it. For 25 or 30 years, I've been saying I'll never be out of this cologne. And every time it gets down to about 3 or 4 squirts, somebody brings me another bottle. And it's not cheap. It's expensive stuff. Because, I mean, after all, I am a king's kid. And he don't have any lack in heaven. There's no lack to my God. Amen? But if I take up money for it, and I tell somebody I'm going to take up money for a ceiling, and I'm believing God for a ceiling, when the money come in, I didn't take it and put it on something for me. Hello. That's the thing. You got to be truthful with God, and you got to let the devil know that you're honest. So the word is in thy heart and it's in thy mouth. The word of faith. And he says, if you will confess, and that's what I did. I said, Ken, honey, I will have the money for this ceiling in Jesus' name. We're going to get a new ceiling. And thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Christ from the dead. You shall be saved. But let me tell you right now, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, everything you need, you will have it. If I need a new car, I'll have a new car. Amen. I put a lot of miles on my vehicles. And every time I need another one, I get another one and it is paid for. And the bank don't understand how you get a 90-day loan for a car. But you get a 90-day loan, and in 90 days, the car's paid off. And the funny thing about it is, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, 10th verse, and with the mouth, confession is made. What do you want? What is it that you need? You may not need ceiling tiles. Your ceiling looks great. What do you need? What do you want? If you walk uprightly before him, he will even grant unto you the desires of your heart. Amen. 17th verse. So faith cometh by hearing. The 17th verse. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you know you haven't really heard until you believe? How do I get faith, Elaine? How do I believe? You keep on hearing the word of God. You don't let it stop. You just keep on hearing. Put it on the video. Put it on YouTube. Find a good preacher, whoever you like that preaches the truth. Don't listen to somebody that all they talk about is money. Oh, that one. Find somebody that preaches about prosperity, but somebody that preaches about the good word of God. There is a whole Bible here. God wants you to be rich. He came in poverty that you might be rich, just like he took all your sins so you could be righteous, and he took the stripes on his back so you don't have to bear your own sickness. He said if you're friendly, he'll give you friends. He said the joy of the Lord is your strength. You got everything you need, and all of it is activated daily by hearing the word and speaking and believing what you hear. Glory to God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I want to tell you today, in this beautiful sanctuary with these great men of God, I'm so honored that Pastor Callahan and Miss Debbie came tonight. And I've been allowed since last Saturday when I came into the state, and Sunday and Sunday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night to speak at Grace Fellowship, because it absolutely fills my heart with joy that I can be around like believers, like faith people. You know, we believe what the word says, and we're going to see it to the end. So what are you going to do? Are you going to take the word of God and believe it and say, the word of God is in my heart, and I love, and I've done this so many times, but remember, he didn't say, I just put faith in your mouth. Right? He said, I put faith in your mouth, and I put faith in your heart. We'll use this. And we're not talking about the blood pumping organ here. We're talking about the spirit. We're talking about the spirit man. He put faith in your mouth, and he put faith in your heart. And you can say it all day long, but if you don't ever believe it. But Elaine, how do I believe it? You keep on saying it. And why do I keep saying it? Because I want to really believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Amen. So I say all the time, some of my favorite, all the Bible's my favorite, but I love to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who's been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And they cried out, and he heard them, and he delivered them from all their distress. Psalms 107:20. And I love to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in me, bless his holy name. Because I love to bless the Lord. And I love to say, shout unto the Lord, for he's given you the city. Oh! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So tonight, if we will take the word of God and let faith walk and talk, you got to have action behind your faith. Now, when Ken said to me, you have got to believe God for the money, he said, we're doing everything we can do, and we're believing God, and God's bringing in funds for everything we need, but this is a big extra expense. He reminded me that I just paid $5,000 for that piece of carpet, and I'd paid this for that one over there in that room, and he reminded me of all this money that I've been spending fixing the church. It's my mom and dad's vision. My mom and dad built it with their own little hands. Cut down the trees to build the thing with an axe. My mama did. She was a wonderful pastor. She was just an awesome pastor. She loved the people. Man, she was touchable. Sheep smell like pastors, and pastors smell like sheep. And my mama was that kind of person. So I looked around and saw it bad, and I said, God, I got to get this thing fixed up because this is my mama's dream, my dad's dream. This is their baby. It's got to be pretty. And I could just see mama looking off the portals of glory saying, well, that's a good job, Elaine. You going to believe for the ceiling? Yeah, mama, I'm going to believe for the ceiling. You talking to the dead? No, I'm just telling you what I said. I don't go out here and talk to them. But I do talk to somebody that's been raised from the dead, Jesus. He's a dead raiser and a water walker. He's a rock that I hold to. Glory to God. So what the thing is I said, okay, Ken, thank you, and I will get the money. I will get the money. Then I go and I start confessing it with my mouth. Thank you for this new ceiling, God. I know that the money's coming. I know you're going to either give it to me. Somebody's going to walk up and hand it to me. Or you're going to send somebody. It's coming on every wave. I remember one day I didn't have any money and I prayed. And I shut the door of my car. And I walked in a bookstore. And when I came back, there was a $100 bill on my windshield wiper. I remember one day I was doing exercises, touching my toes. I was just standing there, got out of my car, and I was doing exercises. And all of a sudden, a $100 bill come floating down. And there was a friend on top of the stairway thing up there, throwed a $100 bill down to me. I said, it's raining bins. But it was a friend that was dropping it down. See, God supplies your needs. Everything you have need of, He'll supply it. But it's got to be voice activated, which is faith. Faith has a voice. And if you don't talk, what does the Bible say in Mark 11:23-24? He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, mouth, heart, but believe what you say, you'll have what you say. So anything you're in need of, start speaking it. Brother Hagin used to say, you may have doubt in your head. You may not have your faith level up and you're thinking where you need to, but keep on saying it because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And when you keep saying the Word of God over and over and over, it'll start building in you and then you'll have what you say. Don't live this life without everything you need. You need a new pair of shoes? Speak it. You need new ceiling? Speak it. You need a new car? Speak it. You want God to anoint you with fire of the anointing? And when you stand up to speak, the fire of God just, you know, you just want to burn. You want to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. You want to run. You want to dance. What kind of anointing do you like? You don't have to act like that. You might want an anointing just to stand there and teach. Well, He'll give it to you. You may want one to sing. You may want one to play. God in heaven knows we need the anointing on all of these things. The anointing doesn't just clip the yoke. It destroys the yoke. Amen. 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 Raise your hands and say amen. 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 God is good all the time. Isn't He good? Isn't God good? God is good. And I tell you, I know, and you know what you're thinking in your heart. You know, and God knows. Everybody around you may not know, but if there's something down on the inside of you and you don't want that, all you got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and it will come out. It will stop. Now, I've asked the Lord to help me just have a bite of ice cream. I didn't have any today for lunch. I didn't have any ice cream today at lunch. I pressed through, divided my meal with Loretta. We had fish. Divided it so that I could have a bite tonight. Jerry Seville said, one night we was preaching together in California at Tom Barkey's church, and he said, I kept on wondering, why are they bringing me here every year with Jerry Savelle? Every year they bring me back with Jerry Savelle for about 8 years. And one day Tom Barkey got up and he said, well, I let my whole church vote on whoever they want to preach the conference. And he said, Elaine Hallmark gets most of the votes, and said, second is Jerry Savelle. And I said, well, praise God, that's why I'm here. The people vote. Isn't that neat? But anyway, he said one night he was eating a piece of pie, and he had beautiful skin and real skinny, and you know what he looks like. And so he said, I go home every night and do 60 sit-ups for one piece of pie. Whew, I don't like pie that good. 60 sit-ups for one piece of pie. Just go to bed hungry. Walk the next day, right? Raise your hands again. Come on. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.